A gruff and belligerent voice provided narration to a sweeping hololithic image of a desert continent. Clutches of hard grassland and spiked vegetation were scattered across the sparse landscape. Overhead, the glare of a forbidding sun bleached the sand white. Monuments and domes made of baked brick rose up out of the dunes. A cluster of these structures encircled a massive menhir sunk into a natural depression. Here, the sweeping image stopped and magnified. Runes described the outer surface of the menhir, which was smooth and alien in design. Faintly glowing crystals, akin to giant oval rubies, were set at precise intervals and interlinked by swirling knot lines emanating from and interwoven within the core runes. "The aliens draw their psychic power from these nodes." The image blinked out, and a hololith of the 10th Primarch replaced it. Ferus Manus was a metal giant clad in jet-black power armor. His home world of Medusa was an icy wasteland, echoed in the chilling silver of his pupil-less eyes and the glacial coldness of his knife-scraped flesh. Vulcan's brother went unhooded, displaying, defiantly, a battle-worn face framed by black hair that was closely cropped to his scalp. Ferus was a furnace, constantly stoked. His anger was quick to rise and slow to abate. He was also called the Gorgon, allegedly on account of his steely glare that could petrify those it fell upon. A less fanciful explanation arose from his planet's namesake and a tie to a Terran legend of ancient Mycenae. "Our augurs have detected 3 such nodes in existence across the surface of 1544, on the desert, ice plain, and jungle continents." A low and hollow voice interrupted.
"Our mission is known to us, brother. We have no need of reiteration."
A second Primarch entered the War Council and stood alongside Ferus Manus, although the two were many leagues apart at opposite ends of the planet. It was a strange juxtaposition, one wrapped by Arctic blizzards, the other bathed in the glow of a fiery sun. Mortarion of the Death Guard was tall and thin, but his presence, even via hololith, was undeniable.
"What I want to know is why we 3 are here to take this world. 3 legions attached to the same expeditionary fleet. What makes it worthy of my attention?"
The self-proclaimed Death Lord had a grim aspect. His gaunt, almost skeletal features were reminiscent of a mythic figure recalled from archaic lore. He was the Reaper of Souls, the Harvester of the Dead, the thing that all men dread as it comes to claim them in the night hours, shrouded by a funereal cloak as grey and ephemeral as life's final breath. Mortarion was all of these things and more. While the Night Lords employed fear as a weapon, he was fear incarnate. Ashen, glabrous skin was suggested behind the grill that masked the lower half of his face. A cloud of vaporous gas encircled his head in a pallid miasma, the captured fumes of lethal barbarous, and was exuded from the confines of his stark war panoply. Shining brass and naked steel clad his form. Much of the detail was obscured by the flowing grey cloak that pooled voluminously over Mortarion's angular shoulders like smoke, but a pitiless skull was still visible upon the breastplate. Poison sensors ringed his towering form like a bandolier of grenades. Like his armor, these too carried the caustic air of the Primarch's home world. Vulcan stooped to grasp a fistful of earth. Brandishing it to the other Primarchs, he allowed the soft, loamy soil to drain through his gauntleted fingers. Earth, he uttered simply. There is a seam of valuable ore, gemstones too numerous to count beneath its surface. I taste it in the air and feel it under my feet. If we force compliance of 1544 quickly, we can preserve it. A protracted war would see any potential geological bounty significantly reduced. That is why, brother. Ferris spoke up, the irritation in his voice obvious. And it is why the nodes must be tackled simultaneously and upon my order. A tired sigh rasped from the Death Lord's lips.
This posturing wastes valuable time. The 14th must cover more ground than their fellow legions.
Mortarian unclasped his mouth grill to grin at the Gorgon. It was at once a mirthless and forbidding gesture, not unlike the rictus mouth of a skull.
And besides, Vulcan and I know who is in command. There is no need to feel threatened, Ferris.
Fraternal rivalry existed between all the Primarchs. It was the natural consequence of their shared genetic origins, but the Iron Hand and the Death Guard felt it more keenly than most. Each prided himself on his legion's endurance, but while one looked to steel and machinery to overcome weakness, the other valued a more innate and biological resilience. As of yet, the virtues of both remained untested against one another. Ferris folded his arms, silver like flowing mercury, but did not bite at the obvious lure.
Is your task over difficult, brother? I had thought the natives of Barbaros to be of sterner stock.
Mortarian's eyes narrowed, and his grip on his massive scythe tightened.
The Legion leaves death in its wake, brother. Come to the ice fields and see for yourself how war should be conducted.
Unable to cool his molten core any longer, Ferris snapped.
Your ravages are already known to me, Mortarian. We must leave some of this world intact if it is to be of use afterwards. You and your kind may thrive in a toxic waste, but the settlers who follow us will not. My kind? Your own legion's progress is as slow and flawed as the machines they covet. What of the desert? Is it won?
It is intact. Any warmonger with Legiones Astartes at his call can unleash destruction. But your tactics are extreme. 1544 will not become a barren, lifeless rock under my charge.
Brothers, both turned in mid-dispute to regard Vulcan. Our enemy is without, not within. We should reserve our anger for them, and them alone. We each occupy three very different theatres of war. Different approaches are needed, and each of us must be the judge of that. Our father made us generals, and generals must be allowed to lead.
Mortarian smiled thinly.
Temperate as ever, brother.
Vulcan chose to take that as a compliment.
But Ferris is also right. We are here to liberate and make this world compliant, not turn it to ash. One hell planet lives in my nightmares. I've no desire to add another to it.
Lighten your hand, Mortarian. The scythe does not need to fall so harshly. He turned to Ferris Manus.
And you, brother, trust in us just as our father did when he charged us with bringing humanity back from the darkness of old night.
Ferris glared, slow to concede the point, but then nodded. The embers of his anger still burned. Where Vulcan was as the earth, solid and grounded, the Gorgon was volatile like an Arctic volcano on the constant verge of eruption. He calmed reluctantly.
You have a lyrical soul, Vulcan. I wonder if it should not be a little harder.
They were of a similar caste, the Iron Hand and the Salamander. Both were forge smiths. But where Vulcan valued beauty and form, Ferus Manus was chiefly concerned with function. It was a subtle but telling difference, and one that left them a little divided at times, despite their close friendship.
"Other than enlightenment, what else have you found in the jungle?"
asked the Gorgon.
Vulcan gave his report. "My legion has encountered the Eldar. Few in number, they employ ambush tactics and have slaved Saurian creatures to their will. There are also witches amongst them. Our army cohorts have been diminished, and my sons have taken minor casualties, but we are closing on the node."
Giving only the slightest indication of displeasure at the news of legionary deaths, Ferus added,
"We too have fought creatures on the dunes, chitinous sand burrowers and giant Gila lizards. The Eldar ride them as we would ride a jet bike or speeder."
Offering his own account, Mortarion said, "I severed the neck of an ice serpent abroad on the tundra, and there are shag-hided mastodons bent to the aliens' service."
Vulcan asked, "Do you think the beasts are all native to the planet, or did some arrive with the Xenos?"
"It hardly matters," said Mortarion. "They may have been created through the means of some aberrant alien technology."
His amber eyes glared.
"All I need to know is where they are."
The Primarch of the Iron Hands considered all of this as he tried to build an accurate picture of the war zone.
"These Eldar are not as technologically advanced as some I have fought," he scowled. "It makes me wonder how the indigenous population was so easily enslaved."
"We found some humans living within the jungle continent," said Vulcan. "A few thousand so far, but I believe there are more. I did not see warriors in their tribes. I suspect they are a simple people in need of our protection."
"Regardless, it is the Eldar we must concern ourselves with."
Mortarion's tone became dismissive.
"There are natives on the ice plains too, but my attention is fixed elsewhere."
Contempt for the weakness of the humans exuded from the Death Lord's every pore. Vulcan felt ashamed that his own feelings towards the jungle dwellers were not so dissimilar.
"For once, I'm in agreement with my brother," said Ferus.
He turned to Vulcan.
"This world has been infiltrated utterly. No corner of it, however remote, is clean of the aliens' taint. Until that is no longer the case, we cannot afford to have our purpose divided. Be mindful, brother, but let the humans look to their own protection. That is all."
The hololith faded, indicating that was the end to their conversation. Vulcan bowed his head to Ferus's order and found himself inside an army command tent, with Numion waiting patiently at the threshold.
"What news?"
Vulcan's mood was sour. The equerry saluted with all the starched formality he was known for and took three steps into the tent.
"Advance army scouts have found the node, my lord. They are transmitting coordinates as we speak."
Vulcan was already walking from the tent and into the open. Farian troopers at guard outside hurried out of the Primarch's path.
"Ready the legion. We march at once."
Numion followed in lockstep.
"Shall I summon the Stormbirds?"
"No, we go on foot."
Outside, some of the army cohorts were building pyres stacked with the alien dead. Curiously, small groups of natives ringed the edges of the vast fires, sobbing into one another's arms. They had lost everything, their lives and their homes, and were caught up in a war they didn't understand. Numion had said he was compassionate. All Vulcan felt was alone. Even amongst his brothers he felt isolated, save for Horus. A close kinship existed between them, There was something very noble and selfless about the War Master. He fostered loyalty in those around him like no other. Charisma bled off him in an almost palpable aura. Perhaps that was why the Emperor had chosen him and not Sanguinius to be War Master. Vulcan saw him as an older sibling, one whom he looked up to and could confide in. He wished dearly that he could speak with him now. Vulcan felt his humours out of balance, and he longed for Nocturne again. Perhaps the long war had changed him. His expression hardened. "We will burn the Eldar out." As he watched the twisting smoke tendrils rise into the sky, Vulcan was taken back to a time before he knew of stars and planets, and of the warriors in thunder armor who were destined to become his sons.